Hello everybody, it's Father Jim. I hope you all had a happy Christmas and your new year will bring you joy and peace. This Sunday is the celebration of our Lord's baptism. We've jumped very quickly from when our Lord was a child and the three kings came, or three wise men, and now he's a grown-up. And he goes down to the River Jordan. It is amazing that we know nothing really of what happened in those intervening, say, 28 years. We presume that he was at Nazareth. We don't know anything about his domestic life or his growing up. It's only by its fruits that we know it. So, as I said before, there must have been an amazing household for our Lord to have been able to relate to men and women, rich and poor, young and old, and have such an intense understanding of his spiritual history, of the Jewish family, how he understood his scriptures. What a man of prayer. So all we can say is he must have been taught all these things in his human nature. I mean, how our Lord handled being divine and human at the same time is his business. I couldn't dream of understanding it. But we do have to believe that our Lord wasn't like a mermaid, half one and half the other, or like a centaur, half human, half animal. We believe he was totally Son of God and totally divine and totally human, like us in all things but sin. So in his human nature, he must have been hugged very well in those first 6 months to have shown such great love. He had to learn how to use a knife and fork, if they used such things in those days. He seems to have learned a trade. He was known as the carpenter's son. What a primary school he must have gone to have taught him his scriptures, to have given him such a profound sense of the use of words and poetry. What a storyteller. What friends he must have had so that he could relate across the board to so many people. And there he was using his hands, I presume, for a number of years, and then suddenly leaving home and going to join his cousin, John the Baptist, who's, we know, 6 months older than he is. We remember John the Baptist's birthday we celebrate on June the 24th, which is 6 months before Christmas. And there he was consecrated. Whenever in the scriptures you find words, "this is," they're always words of dedication and consecration. So, when God the Father says at the baptism in the Jordan, "This is my Son, listen to him," we have a divine statement that consecrates our Lord as the Son, the Beloved. It's a public utterance. And when there's a consecration, there's always a commandment attached to it. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." At the Last Supper, he says, "This is my body. Do that in memory of me. This is my blood." The Transfiguration, the apostles are reminded, "This my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." At the cross he turns to his mother and says, "This your mother." She was consecrated to be the mother of the whole human family. "Look after her." That's what St. John did. So wherever you get words of consecration, there's always a commandment added. "This is forgiveness. Forgive one another. Do to others as I've done to you. This is my service," when he washed the feet. "Do that to each other." So on this Sunday we find our Lord being consecrated for a new ministry, not a domestic one. I'm sure he must have done so much good in his school and at the synagogue. But we have to say, what a Jewish nation to have given the world its saviour. And then John the Baptist was not possessive. He allowed our Lord to have his own disciples, And even John the Baptist allowed his disciples to follow the Lord. John the Baptist said, I'm not the bridegroom, I'm just the best man at the wedding. I have to decrease to let the Lord increase. So ponder sometime what must have been happening, although we don't know the details, during those hidden years in Nazareth. The prayer, the study of the scriptures, the gradual awareness of what the Father's wanting him to do, to prepare his gospel, to have the most enormous courage. And it says also in the readings this week, in the second reading, that God doesn't have favourites. It's very important that God is open to all. We remember Peter had this vision of a net coming down from heaven with all sorts of things in it. And he started picking and choosing, you know, disgusting, not kosher. Oh, reject that, accept that. And God gradually led Peter to realize that our God is God for all. He's a Catholic with a small c, a universalist. And in these days when there's so much civil strife in so many parts of the world, where Cain and Abel are still killing each other, where brothers are at loggerheads, where the rich are getting richer and the poor getting poorer, we have to remember that a Catholic, who's like their brother, the Lord, does not have favourites. All right, we relate differently to others, of course. That's being sincere. But to be a nationalist is to cut oneself off from Christ. If I exist at the expense of others, I can't be the brother of the Lord. So I like to think that our Lord would have had in his heart this beautiful poem. He was consecrated to love his country, and more. He went out of bounds to Tyre and Sidon. He went in the borders of Naphtali and Galilee. He touched lepers. He had Magdalene round his feet and John on his bosom. He hung around cemeteries without feeling he had to go to confession. Because his kingdom wasn't just of this world. He had the idea of a country where people would sit down at peace. The desire foretold, where the wolf would lie down with the lamb, and a young child would put his hand over the adder's nest and not be harmed. So here's this beautiful poem, which was composed in 1918, in January, just a month before the author, Cecil Spring Rice, died after his service in England. Although it may be referring to the United States, anyone who loves the world would be able to say this with conviction and also realize that this world is not the only one. The Lord is the King, not of this world, but of a world of peace. I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love. The love that asks no questions, the love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best, the love that never falters, the love that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted the final sacrifice. And there's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king, but her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering, and soul by soul and silently her shining bounds increase, and her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her paths are peace. So in this period between Christmas and Easter, we'll be thinking of our Lord's ministry, which ended with total generosity, the final sacrifice for his kingdom, for all peoples. Amen.